Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. Here we are, November the 30th, 2021. November 30th. Do you know what tomorrow is? It's the first day of the last month in 2021. And beloved, we'll have to prepare ourselves, ready or not, for another cycle. Yearly cycle. Oh, there will be those of us making New Year's resolutions and promising ourselves again a whole lot of different things. It's coming. But we are facing midnight, another month, and another year. But we're grateful. We're grateful to have made it thus far. And I'm grateful for you to join us again tonight here on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. As always, I enjoy and appreciate the dialogue and conversation, albeit at times heated a little bit. I do appreciate it. And I hope that, in general, the listening audience gets something out of it. All right? That is truly our hope. Now, all across the United States of America, we've said this before, young people find themselves bombarded with all sorts of new ideas, technology, and even social concepts and ideas. One of them is TikTok. Okay. Now, the idea of self-indulgence in these various products and the free for all, just do what you want to, this mindset, this mentality in general, comes with all of that. I'm not sure how healthy that is, though. Okay? Now, we see that on a 24-hour basis, I'm particularly concerned about how easy it is for young folk to be bombarded with suggestions, homicides, riots, disturbances, and just idiosyncrasies on a 24-hour basis daily, right? It would be one thing if they understood how to separate themselves from fact and fiction. But unfortunately for too many of them, there's pressure to try these things out, to be validated, to be a part. Now, unfortunately, for most of our young people, there is a little to know pro-social guidance or instruction and development for discipline of mind and patterns and so forth. So they're kind of left out there to whatever they see, whatever suggestions, whatever prompts. Now, this doesn't bode well for them in the end. I want to take a moment before I go any further and introduce our topic tonight to continue to pray and ask you to pray for family here. I don't know their names exactly, but two brothers were killed this past weekend here in Nashville, sadly. Sadly, the whole family had someone come into their home and shoot several family members. The others survived, but two brothers at one time, the enemy got two for one. And I want to pray for that family. I want you to pray for that family and for the peace around the country, but particularly here in Nashville. All right, I just want to take a moment to do that. Don't know them personally. Don't know. In fact, I don't know them at all. If I do, I don't know I do. But I know that's a very sad thing, and I pray for that mother who has to be torn right now. All right, keeping your head in the game. I just described a little bit about all that is shot at folk, and not just babies, grown folk, middle-aged folk, everything hitting you at once. And sometimes it don't give you a chance to really focus on anything because you have so many things coming at you. I'm going to talk from the topic tonight, keeping your head in the game. And let me apologize ahead of time for my cold here. We're getting over a little cold here, and so if you hear it in my voice a bit raspy or something, that I ask your apologies. Charge it to my cold and not to my heart. All right. Having said that, we move on, and we'll be with you for an hour and a half tonight. And coincidentally, there won't be a episode on this coming Thursday night. Our host is not available to do that. We will look like we missed a few of them, and I'll have to make some kind of decision about that. But nonetheless, I want you to know that there won't be a show this coming Thursday night. Tonight, November 30th, 2021, we're talking from the topic, keeping your head in the game. The text in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verses 10 and 11 reads like this: whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Interesting. Verse 11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance, happiness to them all. I could pull two things out of those two texts in relationship to our topic tonight, keeping your head in the game. Listen, one day, beloved, we all have to leave this side. Got to go. We have to pass on. We have to die. We have to make room for another generation. Are you with me? And whatever we do in life, with the opportunities we have in life, it admonishes us to take full advantage of them and to be focused and do our very best with them. Because when you go to the grave, you won't be able to take it with you, and that's it. It's final. Then the other thing is this, that no matter how good you are, how fast or how strong you are, it's a matter of chance. We all are subject to chance, and it can knock us all out. Now, there's one thing that's for sure, though. And that's our Savior. In fact, I got a family out of Memphis. Nobody popular, nobody rich or famous, but a family out of Memphis that's going to intimate that point for me. that no matter where you go and what you do, that God is still always on the throne, and he's able to overcome every and all things. And if you keep yourself in his hands, you'll be all right. See, it ain't about your money. It ain't about your wisdom or how many people you know, your fame, right? Chance can catch us all. We all got to go, and chance can catch us. But I want to talk from the topic, keeping your head in the game. Well, what is this game, Doctor? What is this game you're talking about? Just briefly, let me go through the monologue, and then we'll open up the floor for dialogue. Is that all right? 657-383-0944. That is the number that you can call into the studio tonight to join us in live dialogue here on Talk Straight. And again, this is your host, in case you're just joining us. That is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Doc. If you follow us by Facebook, feel free to post a question or comment there in the conversational thread, and we'll strive to share that in the group there. And you can call us, though. I want you to call me. Feel free to call me, 657-383-0944. That is the podcast studio number, all right? So here's the monologue. Let's talk about game and what a game model is. Typically, it calls for players participating in the game to interact with one another in a systematic way. Okay? There's a formal, systematic way in the competition. The objectives are very important, and they're so because they motivate the players to continue and to work hard in this competition. They are outlined by certain steps or procedures, certain rules for engagement, resources in the game, you understand? Conflicts, there's some sort of conflict, some reason that you're combating or competing with one another. There are boundaries. And of course, there's the outcome of winning or losing. Who wants to be a loser? I don't know too many people. Games are generally characterized by a specific apparatus, and often they can be defined by the rules that are assigned to them. Okay? These rules are subject to variations and change of various kinds. And enough changes to the rules can actually change the game. Enough changes or variants to the rule can change the game itself. However, some games deliberately involve changing of their rules. They try to, right? But even then, they are pretty much still a competition that has some set of guidelines. Generally, you can determine in a game whose turn it is, what is the order that things are played in, what rights and responsibility do the participants have, the players, and what are the players' goals, what are they striving for, how game components interact with each other, and you can even see how they produce changes in people's state of mind. In their drive. If you're behind, you tend to get a little hyped up, feel like you really got to work and push hard now so you can catch up. If you're doing well, sometimes people sit down on the game. They just chill, lay low, right? You heard the story of the turtle and the hare, where the turtle and the rabbit, the turtle is very, very slow. And the rabbit fast. And when they started out in the race together, the rabbit looked at the turtle, man, I'm going to tear you all to pieces. But the rules of the game is you got to run until you get to the end. But for the rabbit, it wasn't competitive enough. So he decided, I'm going to give the turtle a head start. I'm gonna lay here and take me a nap. Let the turtle go ahead of me, and I still beat him. He's so slow. Sure enough, turtle took him up on that challenge, and as the rabbit laid sleeping, unconscious, the turtle took his time. No rush, just walking, taking his time. What the turtle what the rabbit didn't realize is you can fool yourself. That sleep got so good to him that he slept all the way through the race. And the turtle took his time walking across the finish line. By the time he woke up and realized what was going on, he took off running the jet, and everybody was gone. He wanted to know, hey, what happened? And the turtle was standing there in the victory with the trophy. That's not right. That's not fair. Well, in reality, what you did was to create a scenario based on the rules of the game that empowered the slowest one in the game to win by chance. Now, a primary focus of winning in a game is the zero sum. Say that again, Doctor. The primary focus is what is the zero sum? What's the outcome? Such that people gain exactly equal to whatever they lose, participant by participant. You put some in, you get some out. You put nothing in, you get nothing out. These influences may be characterized broadly in three ways. From a social scientific approach, the humanities, and the industry and engineering approach. That's how they can be, just consider that, all right? By speaking the social science approach, what we speak of is what concerns itself with the question of what do games do to people? That's why we're interested in studying games. We want to know, what do they do to people? How does it cause them to be competitive? We see a lot of young men, and we say if you want to channel their anger and their frustration, teach them in the box, teach them to play football or some other aggressive sport, right? You use certain tools and methods such as surveys that'll control laboratory experiments as well and ethnographic research. They enable you to investigate both the positive and negative impacts that playing in a particular game or competition have on people. That's what the social scientists do. But more social, I guess you could say sociologically speaking, either negative or positive, seeking to understand its role and its location in the complexity of everyday life is what perhaps is most important. When we talk in terms of the humanities approach, we talk about how the question of what meanings are made through games, what can we do with them to help other people? And some would argue that some competitions are so aggressive and so brutal that there's no benefit, there's no humane benefit to it. Okay? Some people have race and competitions to raise money for charitable causes. That's the justification in their mind often. Now, but from an industry perspective, we're talking about in the industry or the workforce, the main question that we look at is how can we create better games that are profitable to society? So there's profitability. Again, in the humanity or the humane perspective is adding something, some value to humanity. And then in the social science, how can we learn from the impact of games? All right? But surely we find ourselves either voluntarily or involuntarily engaged in competitions of all sorts. And many people will argue that it's not right that I have to participate in a game that I'm asked to. You know, we today, where arbitrarily certain rules and regulations are made, and the expectation is that everybody follow them, everybody put themselves in line. And some don't want to. Some simply don't want to, understandably. All right? I want you to listen to, just for a minute, this family, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. We'll be with you for another about an hour and maybe 10 minutes or so. All right? But I want you to give us a call here. I'd love to hear from you, love to engage you for this next about hour or so. But I want to take a few minutes for you to hear this, family. I told you that even though we all got to go to the grave, and we should realize that we can't take nothing with us, and that the race isn't given to the swift, nor the but. So don't think it's just all about you, right? Nor the battle to the strong. But chance can, circumstances, known and unknown, can affect where you are and where you go. That's just reality. But there's one standard, one thing that is for sure, and that is the Word of God. That will never, never change for me, for you, for anyone. And that's good news. I want you to know that that's good news, that you don't ever have to worry about this one constant, and that is the Word of God changing for anybody. And just for a second, I want you to listen to this family out of Memphis as they talk about He'll Make It All Right. Just put it in his hand. Listen to him. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Doctor. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. 657-383-0944. Give us a call. You don't know what they're talking about. I invite you to listen just for a little bit longer. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. You listen, Talk Straight. And they told you to make it all right. Keep your head in the game. And what happened? He can make it. Yeah, yeah. Keep your head. Keep your head. All right, all right. I better let that thing alone. I can feel my help coming. Now, listen. You're listening to Talk Straight. Our topic tonight on this Tuesday, November the 30th, 2021, is very, very simply keeping your head in the game. Things happen, beloved, and sometimes it make you want to snap, make you want to, hey, keep your head together, 657-383-0944. Give us a call. I was talking earlier about the dichotomy of the game and the competition and its whole purpose. And that is to spark competition, push people to bring their best out. My son and my daughter were competitive swimmers, and my daughter actually still teach lifeguards and what have you. And one of the things that they learn, and I learned by extension through them, is that really the focus of swimming is not necessarily get in the water and beat everybody to the end. as it is to beat your own time, to overcome yourself. You set a record. Your goal is to continuously improve to where you beat your own record. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? So you're competing to do better. But if you allow people, circumstance, mores and folk rays and everybody else rays to get in your head, you can lose your focus and never get to where you're going. And there's a lot of good people start out on the road of life in the competition of life with good intentions, and they lose their way. One particular instance, I never would get my older brother, he questioned, why would I ever run for public office? And his greatest concern was that, man, you get caught up in that Leviathan and the dirt and the shame and the crud. And I said to him, well, that is a reality. And many have. But I believe it's important to know what you're there for and to be focused and deliberate about that, right? And that is, should be, in my view, service of people. If you put that first, my selfish intent, my selfish aim won't last. And others who would try to buy their way won't last if you put people first. And I do, I want you to know that I'm under no illusion that there aren't some tricks out there and some turns and some corners. Don't get me twisted now. I recognize that. See, they've been all my life. They've been. It wouldn't make me think they're going to go away today. You understand? But the point I'm trying to make is very simply that, yes, even though that those things are there, if we keep our head focused and what we're in the competition for, what our purpose is, what our direction is, right? What resources are available to each and every one of us in the competitions of life to maintain ourselves? One such resource is education, right? It leads to you being in a better, or perhaps I would argue the best position to control your economic viability and status in life. And that empowers you to determine how far you go, where you live, what you eat, your diet, right? What kind of clothes you wear, you know? What environment do you circle in or live in? See, those are determinants there. And you can say they're economic determinants. I'm in the insurance industry, and we just had a function this past weekend, and it was interesting hearing from good people about their views of insurance, you know, and they view it as something that's dirty and systematic, that's designed to steal people's money. Well, it's true. It is true that when you buy a policy for your automobile coverage or for your home coverage or even for your life coverage, that the carriers, they're taking that money and investing it in the stock market, just as the banks. When you put your money in a bank, you know, they're investing that money. It's your money, and they're investing it. It's important to know how you can be a part of the investment process to where you're not left out, though. That's the catch. And that's the system, though. And yes, there have been legislators that made laws that made it a legal requirement, particularly if you're going to drive, to have a driver's license and insurance in most states. I'm only aware of one state where there's no legal requirement. But the point being here is that it is what it is. It's part of the governance and the rules of the society, in which we live. We can be angry. We could have disdain for it, sure. That's your right too. But the reality is we drive to work. We drive to the grocery store. Perhaps your family to an outing, to school, or just around the corner. And if you're on the road and you don't want to have to worry about breaking the law and have to deal with law enforcement and things of that nature, having your license suspended and so forth, the appropriate thing to do is to, as a citizen now, as a responsible citizen, is to go and get your driver's license. If you can. Some people have reasons they can't drive. I get that too. Right? And then make sure you have your driver's license and have your insurance and keep it up to date. It costs money. Yeah, and that's a bill. Yes, it is. There are certain regulations that are geared toward making sure that even the auto insurance industry does not unfairly, what they call, rate you out of being able to drive. So the state requires a bare minimum, usually $25,000, $50,000 for the first person, the second person, if you're found liable for some accident, right? And basically, it keeps you from being locked up, or it provides some sort of accountability. But the point here is that in the game of life, I want to characterize it as a game, even though we find ourselves consciously and unconsciously competing for certain things. And that's why I loosely say the game of life. But I want to go back to the focus of swimming. That's where you're really trying to improve yourself and do better than you did the last time. And as we get older, that's the way I see life is, the more you know, the older you become, you work to improve yourself. You work to improve yourself. All right, you're listening to Talk Straight, and we're keeping the phone lines open here for another about 55 minutes now, 55 minutes, and that gives you an opportunity to call me. Let's talk about it. Our topic is keeping head in the game. What do you think about that? What's your thought on that? Shoot me a comment or question here, and we'll be glad to entertain you accordingly. Let's see here. I'm going to write some here. All right. All right. You're in the house. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I'll be happy to engage you tonight. You're on live. If you're watching us on Facebook live stream, come on. Pick that phone up. Give me a holler. If you're listening from the Blog Talk Radio platform, blogtalkradio.com, give us a call. It's 657-383-0944. That is the number to call, 657-383-0944. All we ask you to do is to be respectful and let's have some meaningful dialogue, all right? I realize that other people are busy, and this is we're right in the holiday season. Is today Black? No, that's tomorrow, isn't it Black? Or it's Black Friday. That's what it is, Black Friday. It's Friday, so okay. All right. Well, we're going to try to keep the phone lines open. While I wait your call, I'm going to go back and listen to that family out of Memphis. I don't know these people. All I know is they singing mighty good. They singing mighty good. Listen, I believe I got somebody here. 153720. That name number sounds familiar. I bet y'all know him. Welcome, caller.
Hey, now what's going on, Pastor Doctor?
see, my heart started jumping because I knew that kid right there. That's my main man.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Pastor, I got a little bit of old cold here I'm trying to get rid of, but I can handle that, Kayla.
So you can handle it? You can handle it, bro. Yeah. You can handle it. Thank you. I think you're walking through it. You know, it sounds
okay.
Like you got it. You got it down back, you know.
Yes, sir.
You own it.
Okay. How are you doing, big brother? How are things going your way?
Oh, man, I'm maintaining. Yeah, I appreciate you asking. Yeah, brother. pushing right on through.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I thought about it at the time. I said, all right, quick, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I cut you off.
Yeah, that's what it was, in order to see what's happening. And I thought I could call to get some good input here.
Absolutely.
I'm sure whatever you bring it to the table, I know it's good news.
Yes, sir. It's just you and I right now, but I have invited Facebook Live group to give us a call here at 657-383-0144 and Blog Talk Radio as well. I got St. Louis joining us now. And our general topic here is keeping your head in the game. We've talked about this before, but tonight I started by specifically talking about this one little apparatus that's out there called TikTok. And it's interesting that it's an online thing, it's on your phone and what have you, and allows people to be silly, basically. And but I've seen some people do some dangerous things. There are competitions where I saw where somebody kick your feet away from on you and you fall backwards on your head. And why would anyone want to do that? I mean, what, Pastor, what sense does that make, you know?
You said they was having fun? They said making, what did you say they were doing with
them? All kind of silly things on. This TikTok allows you to video yourself, right?
Uh-huh.
And it goes viral. It goes out and everybody see you. But some of the things folk are doing are just dangerous and silly. And just we're talking about keeping your head in the game, you know. And I know people are trying to find ways to make themselves happy. But generically, what's your thought on that?
Well, I was at one point, I thought maybe it was some positive thing that was supposed to be something that would encourage people to, you know, send in videos and things like that, that would be positive and uplifting and, you know, getting a lot of points or something. I don't know. I mean, that's just something that I thought. I never experienced it, but I've heard about TikTok and how effective it is supposed to be, you know, in doing things that's positive. So apparently that's not just the case. You know, you say they're doing things like that's bringing harm and they enjoy it, like it goes viral. Oh, man.
Yeah. Some of the things that are being posted, many of the things that are being posted on a regular basis just shows how simple and childish and destructive particularly people in America can be. This is all over the country now. It's all over the country. And that's my greatest concern with it, is that this technology allows people to really show how debased their thoughts and their actions can be. I'm concerned about that. I'm going to talk to you about where it came from and a very powerful idea that was introduced, I think it was 2011, via a commercial from China, and the correlation it has to now, seemingly in America, a lot of folk are showing just how crazy and silly they can be. But let me go to St. Louis. St. Louis, welcome, sir. We're talking about from the topic, keep your head in the game, and I think you just heard that discourse there. We were talking about TikTok in particular. Any thoughts?
Well, TikTok is produced by the Chinese Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know why anybody would use that anyway, but it just goes to show the ignorance.
Okay.
As you indulge in activities on that platform, they are collecting artificial data on you. Especially your facial features.
Oh, my goodness. And you're giving
artificial data is going to be used, putting you in a database. They have the ability, the technology exists now to see you behind your mask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also the technology exists to see, be able to know where you was. In other words, if you was in a bank lobby, they have technology that can come in there hours later. Once they know what your aurora is, they can measure for it.
Okay.
See it exactly where you were, where you have been.
Great point. I don't think people realize that, gentlemen, that I read an article 20 years ago where China had began research on face recognition from the eyes down and from the eyebrows up, basically. They had been, you know, they've been using it. Police used to use it a lot of times for sketching and what have you, but China in particular. And one of the devices they used was a mask to determine from your eye structure, your forehead and your eyebrows and so forth and things of that nature. And as St. Louis is saying, they're actually able to create an algorithm around your features, your body, your height, your weight, and thing. And before you know it, they can pretty much determine who you are before you open your mouth. That's amazing. That is utterly amazing. Gentlemen, the thing that struck me about this fad, this this interest here, is the fact that in 2001, there was a commercial, and these Chinese children were in the classroom. Instructor was standing before them, and he was talking about how docile, how dumb, and how ignorant, and how silly Americans were in general. Wasn't talking about black or white, but Americans in general. And then he went on to say that you all will rule them. And the children in the classroom just fell out laughing. It's amazing to me, as you pointed out, St. Louis, this technology came out of China. And ironically, 13-some years later, guess what? They're actually able to control people's behaviors, their mannerisms, and folks thinking they're getting it for free. Oh, I get to go on there and videotape myself for free. That anybody know ain't nothing free in America? Who know that ain't nothing free in America?
Can well, I get you know, here's...
Go ahead.
Here's the thing that you people need to come to terms with. And I'm just talking about blacks.
Okay.
This may apply to others too, but I know very well the history. A lot of what you call black America, a large portion of that society, the people in that society, is cursed. They curse. It's what you call, how long you shall reap what you sow. Ain't that what Martin Luther King said?
Well, he asked, how long must we wait? I'm not sure what you, but go ahead. Go ahead.
That goes back generations.
Okay. Okay.
And that's karma, some people call it. In the neighborhood, the older people used to say you had it coming. But no, those curses, people believe in that. In some cases it does come relevance, but I believe a large portion of them is cursed. Not all, but a large portion of them.
So what when you say
because Africa got rid of African tribes, societies got rid of people.
Okay.
They got rid of people. They sent them to the east. They were doing it long before they met anybody with white skin. And not only them, but other societies do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you do it in prison? What do? You send them all where? To prison, right? You get them out of society. Prison ain't next door. In some cases, it may be out as far as us Colorado or North Dakota.
Now, you're talking about criminals. You're talking about criminals, huh? You're talking about criminals and derelicts and throwaways, right? Is that who you're talking about?
Well, it's something that people don't have no use for. People don't get rid of things that they have use for.
But you realize at the beginning, I'm just trying to understand your premise here. You started off by saying, but you did say not all black, but you said some black people. Just want to be clear who we're talking about, but because now you've come to the point where it sounds like you're inferring that these people are criminals or throwaways from society.
No, I said they are cursed. Yeah, there's a curse that follows them. Absolutely. Some people say, I can't have no good luck for bad luck. Well, it's a reason. It's a reason for everything.
Okay. All right.
Blacks have diabetes. They have a disproportionate amount of diabetes running in their ethnic group, right?
Yeah, I'm guilty of it. I got it myself. I get it myself.
All right. That diabetes comes from the gene of the Neanderthal.
Neanderthal? Hmm. Okay.
Neanderthal.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. People in the United States, in the Western Hemisphere, in North America, and especially blacks, have about 3% Neanderthal genome within their biological makeup. You go to Africa, they don't suffer from no diabetes. What? They have low or none Neanderthal. And that's because...
Well, help me. You're telling me something, St. Louis, I'm hearing for the first time. So if you don't mind, can you cite me a reference on what you're speaking of in terms of this Neanderthal diabetes? Or
Neanderthal was the hominid that was right around after Homo erectus. When human ass began to walk out of, began to stand up and walk, your first species of Australopithecus and Homo habilis, they crawl. They lived in trees.
Okay. All right.
Well, then, the next one was Erectus. Erectus stood up and started walking. He walked out of the continent. Well, you said you wanted to know, Ruben.
Well, you're not asking the question.
Just hold your hands.
You're not asking the question. I asked you a reference about diabetes.
Well, I'm getting to it.
Oh, okay. Give me a few more minutes to get to it. Go ahead.
You have to study DNA sequences. Study DNA sequences on Neanderthal. And they tell
you. We're not going to do that tonight, that St. Louis. You know we ain't got
no, you can do it on your own. I know you ain't going to do it on tonight. You don't have the reference material to do it on your night. But when you're on your own, study. All education don't start and end in one place.
Okay, I get you. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone because I don't think we're going to get nowhere with that tonight. But now, can we talk about this behavior pattern with this TikTok, though? That's something I think we all see right now in 2021. Pastor Waller, can you relate to that, sir?
Hey, man, I'm just tuned in to realize that it's either good or it's bad. There's no in between. So it's made for a purpose. It was put out no matter where it came from. And if it did come from that location, they were intelligent people who was able to get the attention of those that possibly would call in or do whatever they do to for the first time, brother, to do anything that they prefer to do, whether it be good or bad or funny, with laughter or with joy of, man, this is really positive. We need to do more of this. So it ended up, from what I'm hearing, you know, you talk about, it's like there are people doing things that's harmful, and they're, you know, like getting on there and may not even know where it came from. They may not know, like we're talking about tonight, and you're saying it came from China. And, you know, and so if that's where it came from and people are on it that don't even know that, or there may be people that on there that know it. But either way, I'm still looking at what is it good for? What is it good for? Is it good for it to help? You know, or is it good for bringing harm? That's where I would be at with it. If it's good, if it's good for helping people, man, then hey, let's do it.
But well,
I don't think that's happening from what I heard you say.
No, well, what I've observed is that it quickly, and we're joined by 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois. It quickly. 8112.
How you doing, Pastor Waller?
I'm good. Thank you. Appreciate you asking. How are you?
I'm doing all right, maintaining.
That's good. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, you also.
All right.
So, 12, what we were talking about is this fad, this TikTok fad that's quickly seemed to be spreading and allowing not just blacks but whites and everybody, a lot of folk around the world, to display, in my view, kind of loose and wild behaviors, you know? And you said it's a TikTok. It's an app. It's an app.
Yeah, that's what I be seeing on my cell phone, right?
Right, right.
I don't get on there, but I heard my daughter tell a couple of her kids that she don't want them on it, and so when they get with grandma, grandma ain't paying their clothes. But then if I figure out that's what it is, I make them change it. I've
right.
also heard something about they have different trends and stuff going on where they challenge their kids to kill
mm-hmm.
themselves and things. So it don't sound like a positive thing to me.
No, no. And it's so widespread. I was just talking about it. Oh, my goodness.
See, I don't know. So, I'm uninformed on that.
We were talking about keeping your head in the game. And in this case, something that can distract you from what's important. And
mm-hmm.
it seems what it looks like to me is yet another very convenient distraction from people educating themselves,
mm-hmm.
people working. You understand what I'm saying? And people being focused about planning for their lives, particularly young people. But I see a bunch of old people on there trying to show how silly they can be.
And you say this is TikTok doing this,
as well as
TV in general, because if they wasn't looking at it.
Well, here's the thing. I could be sitting looking at a email or a message, and it pops
mm-hmm.
up on the phone just that quick. It pops up on your phone just that quick. That's how easy it is and prevalent it is.
I'm going to say this. Out of time is the devil workshop, and the devil is very busy these days. And one
mm-hmm.
destruction from humanity, as well as other diseases that's been out here, is this COVID thing. People are afraid. People are doing too much, and the kids are losing, and they're falling fast and quick.
Oh, yeah.
I just lost a great nephew that got shot the other day. Everybody was in a big uproar. And you know young folks, a lot of folks be thinking, why he killed him? But you don't know the circumstances of whatever it was that happened. Until you get the information, then it comes to find out. Even though he's my great nephew, I'm heartstruck. And once again, I will say this. From what his grandmother told me, which is my niece, he brandished a gun first. So I tell people, when you pull something out on somebody, you better hope. Because you're not in the cowboy days and they kill you real fast. You better hope like heck that they don't get you before you get them. And that's what allegedly happened.
Unfortunately, that's a dangerous thing, yeah.
And
sure.
It's sad because everybody lose. It's a no-win-win situation out here these days.
Well, it seems that way, doesn't it? But I still believe there's yet hope.
Well, I know, Pastor, it's hope. There's always hope. But if you can't touch down in the heart and souls of these kids, and if they don't know God, they don't have sense enough to know fear.
I agree. I have to agree with you. And that's part of the thing I'm talking about. Just another convenient distraction from old and young folk for what we need to be doing. We need to be recapturing our young folk out of these streets. We had a whole family was shot up this past weekend here in Nashville. And I asked everybody to kind of pray for that family. And the mother lost two sons in that incident. Two sons. She was shot and her other children and two of her sons were killed in that one incident over this weekend.
Lord, have mercy, because of something somebody else probably did.
Well, you know, it didn't look good. But the point is that, sadly, she's grieving the loss of two sons at one time over what, you know.
Ooh,
and
I know what one feel like. Lord, have mercy on me. I never want to know what two feel like.
Sure, sure. So I say that to say, though, in reference to what you're saying, that I agree with you. That's where our focus ought to be. All these
mm-hmm.
new gadgets and toys
mm-hmm.
and things that Facebook and social media put before. I use Facebook professionally, you know,
mm-hmm.
for business and what have you. But it can take folk and really guide them down a very dark path if you're not careful. And one of these new apps on there is this TikTok thing. And, I mean, it's just got folk going crazy. And the worst thing is for the babies, to, you know what I mean?
So I think from what I'm gathering, what my daughter said, that she don't want her children on it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that what I'm hearing from you as well is that this thing, what you're talking about, TikTok, has become
mm-hmm.
so large. And I guess if you don't have, I don't know if they have parental guidance or whatnot on those things. Because
obviously
a lot
not.
Of parents at certain times have to leave their children at home. And if
right.
they can't block that off there, they'll be looking there because they find it entertaining, but it's dangerous.
Right.
Am I correct?
Watch this. Well, here's the catch. It's free. See, that's the real problem is it's free.
So you can't block it.
I have the freedom to just go plumb crazy. Just go crazy. Now, these are my words, but I'm just saying, and we got St. Louis and Pastor Rollo on with, but I'm just saying, this is the, it does require some level of maturity from parents or somebody to say,
mm-hmm.
people, back, pull yourself in. And when you think about it, this app was generated by China, as many of the technologies for these cell phones or what have you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made reference to a statement that was made in 2011 where it was in the form of a commercial. It was saying that the young Chinese are going to rule Americans because they were so ignorant, dumb, and easily persuaded. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit, but, you know, and
well,
it looks
some
like
of them do act that way, so how are you going to be Chinese to say what they say?
Here we are in 2021.
Some people do act ignorant. And easily persuaded. And that's where my mother's upbringing come in at.
Okay.
If I'm incorrect, tell me.
That's where
raising from home comes in at. If, in fact, you've had that old-fashioned, old-school raising. It was very vital for us to keep it, for them to keep us safe.
Okay, let me go this way. And we got three people on the phone that I believe are old enough to remember this. There was a time where children were not allowed to go anywhere and everywhere they wanted to.
Yes, sir.
Because the parents knew that they may become overly exposed to the wrong thing and the wrong example. Would you agree with that, Pastor Waller?
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, what about
definitely.
You?
I mean, it was
I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish, Pastor. Then I'll
listen. Yeah, it was a greater concern.
That's right.
Happening.
Okay. All right. Would you agree with that, St. Louis? Was that your experience that you saw where parents didn't allow their children to go every and anywhere they wanted to?
Yeah, it was different times. Today,
right.
anything goes. You got some people that's totally irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in many different areas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I brought that up, guys, to say this, that now in this so-called information age, that's what folks said, and that's the excuse that is made to allow all this technology and what have you without enough filter on it, basically. So now children don't have to go out of the house to see these examples. All they got to do is have a what? A cell phone in front of them. That seems to be what everybody have, no matter how poor you are. And I'm not saying that to down anybody or say you don't have a right to have a cell phone, but what it does is give you immediate access to a lot of examples that children just do not need to be exposed to. And there's no filter on it.
Yeah.
So it requires parents to be like your daughter says, I don't want you all, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I almost think that children of a certain age don't need these devices, period.
I think so, too. Because also at the same end, I only speak for myself. I've seen some other children where their parents put a cell phone in their hand and let it babysit them all day. Oh, no, not in my house. You going to read a book? I'll let you be on it for a little bit. Okay, great
right.
to that.
Right. Right.
After a while, you're going to get a school. I'm big on reading. You're going to
okay.
get a book. You gotta learn how to do something out of looking to this doggone phone, tablet, or whatever, to
right.
teach you. And
I
they
agree.
Look at me like, Grandma, why you being mean? I mean, they're not even in the state right now, but I'm just saying when they were smaller.
Sure.
I'm like, are you kidding me? This is what y'all teaching them?
Mm-hmm.
Because
well,
it keeps
now.
The children out of a lot of younger parents' hair.
Yeah, I agree.
They know good and well if I give them this, and then they think it's something not cool, but it's educational for them. See, like you just educated me about TikTok, which my daughter told me so. But guess what? I'm granny. I ain't sitting there watching these kids every 2 minutes looking at their cell phone. If I hear something about I'm watching TikTok, then I know what to do.
Yeah.
I'll either take your phone if I find you on it, or either I make you take it and put it on something better for you.
Right. Well, now I'll tell you what, and I want to open the floor to the other gentleman that's on the
yes,
phone
sir.
With us tonight. In my household, every day that was a standard time, we were doing nothing but homework or reading. Wasn't no TV or any kind of devices.
Well,
I'm just saying. It's about priority, and parents have to prioritize their children's time, period. And, you know, the excuse that many children have, well, I need to send them to school with this cell phone so I can reach them. When I leave them with the principal and with the teacher, if I can't reach the principal and teacher by that phone in that office, we got a problem.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if I need to talk to my child, you go get them from the class, bring them to the phone in the office and let me talk to them. They don't need no cell phone for me to call them and talk to them while they're in class.
They still do that.
Okay. Now, I'm just saying that my children are grown now, but I'm just saying. That's...
Mine too. So what you talking about, it wasn't no cell phones running around my house.
Okay.
There
were
no pagers or beepers back then.
Okay.
They didn't have one. So, okay.
I got you. Anybody want to comment on that, gentlemen? Pastor Waller, St. Louis?
Well, I just think, you know, it's time for, you know, for people to, who is a, maybe that's aware of what the cell phones is for. You know, it's a take over the mind, you know, and it has done a fantastic job at doing so. And that's one of the things that I've noticed about the power of the cell phone. And it's effective, I know that. It's working, and as I said, you know, you can use it for the good or the bad. And as Pastor Doctor, you were saying something that I think was very valuable. Just think if it was a time that people would be able to, who have children, be able to assemble them, and that it won't be no TV, no cell phones, nothing but getting homework done. Then that would be phenomenal at a time like today, you know, because it's a lot of destruction going on. You remember you say the people that got, you know, just they're doing a lot of shooting and doing a lot of things like that because, you know, the power of the cell phone, you know, it's a lot of feedback that's going on. You know, they telling what's going on the cell phone, showing what they're doing on the cell phone. So it's a whole lot that the cell phone is purposely working on behalf of self-destruction. There's a lot of it going on as a result of the cell phone.
Right.
Cell phone is a powerful tool, man, that, you know, that a phone that when you was at home didn't have that. It didn't have that
exactly.
type of self-destruction.
Pastor Waller, may I say this, please?
Sure.
There was
definitely.
A time where in our generation that we didn't have those modern technology, and I felt even being an older person now where I had to try to figure out my way. My son stuck a cell phone in my hand and expect me to know magic.
Magic.
I didn't know how to walk it, and I still don't 100%. It's not that I'm ignorant. It's because I come from a different era of time, and I didn't know. I have grandchildren that shows grandma this and that. I'm not ashamed to speak where I come from, but my point on that note is there's so many kids, as I said a few minutes ago, that their parents stick, even babies, they stick these phones in these kids' hands and expect them to raise them.
Yeah, that's right.
And how sad that is, they have no business, like you said.
Sad situation, but it's working.
Very much so is, sir. And this is, I think, a part of the problem. It's not only urban America. It's all over the world.
It
is everywhere. Because without these cell phones, a lot of people don't even know how to call in case of an emergency.
Okay.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, it calls for us to examine these things because many would argue that it has a very important purpose in society and that if you got rid of today, it would shut a lot of communication and function down. But on the flip side, if I could use Pastor Wallace's title of his book, on the flip side, it has a lot of negative things. And if it was used responsibly, maybe that's one thing. But when you give a child the sense or the notion that they can think and act and choose like a free-willed adult, that's kind of dangerous. That's dangerous. And that's what a lot of the examples on these devices suggest to them. It exposes them to them. Now, I heard people say to me that, you know, you're not going to be around your children 24/7, so you ain't going to know exactly what they're doing. Well, that's true. However, what I can control is where they are, right? Certainly when they were, before they were adults.
Exactly.
I can control where they were and whose care I left them in.
True.
See, at that point, I can hold somebody accountable.
Yes. But what about the ones that don't need the babysitters or you had to leave in somebody's care? You can't control that because you know as well as I do. After a certain age, children become rebellious, boys
they
and
can.
Girls.
They can.
And some of them do, most of them, including yourself as myself as well. Not that I was so much as rebellious as, and I wasn't trying to be disobedient, but at a certain age, puberty pops in on everybody. When everybody get through line, like they follow the whole parent game by the rules all the time. No, you didn't.
Hey, 12.
Your parents teach you one thing, and you, as soon as they tell you and speak up and say, my child ain't going to do this, they done exactly what you said for them not to do. And you thought, while you out there defending their honor, they done did just, and you arguing with somebody else about what you said they wouldn't do. That's exactly what some of them have done.
Well, 12, let me say this. You're right that I have been guilty personally, but my daddy had a trick for that. It was called that belt, and it had holes in it. See, double holes.
Well, I ain't never got hit with no belt with holes, but guess what? I got lots.
Wait a minute.
I'm trying to always be good because I'm the youngest daughter.
Yeah. Let me fix it up for you. And not only did it have holes in it, but it was pure leather. And he'd go and put a little water on that thing, man, and
that was
me. Like, right. You know, I whip you because I love you. Well, man, stop hating
me.
Don't
love me that hard.
My point is this, and that is, you're right, it's possible for us to go wrong. But when we establish an order and an expectation and we reward appropriate behavior, that can avoid a lot of mistakes. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people miss. Now, on the flip side, my dad, when he and my mom separated, he wasn't in the household anymore. So it was like a rubber band that was pulled all the way back and just turned loose. You see what I mean? And so I take your point that it could happen to anybody. But if we're focused, even in 2022, we're about to go into 2022, guys.
2022 ain't that something I eat every day? It's harder. I have a birthday coming up by the grace of God.
Okay, in a couple of days.
But my point on that note is, thank you. And my point is this. Each and every day we sit back and we sometimes you just by yourself, that's when you get your most powerful thinking going on to me. And there's so many things in this world that is happening today that we never saw as a child. For each generation, it is different. I got that. That's why I've been forcing myself to learn how to use the cell phone because I need to be able to try to reach out to the grandkids. I don't like feeling stupid or ignorant about anything, but I am about so many things, in other words.
That
it's okay for me to say that.
So
we, I think, as a peoples, when you stretch your hand out, you got a hand, four fingers and a thumb. When you ball your fists up, you got a mighty powerful chance of winning the fight.
So on
that note, it is very important to me that we as a people of a certain age and generation try to find a way. It's not going to be easy. Nothing is always easy. And if it's that easy, you better reevaluate it.
I see where you're going. Okay.
When you're talking about these kids out here today, a lot of them ain't been raised, and I take that in consideration.
They
have not been raised from the background we have. I think our generation of being raised by a parent or parents, mother or father. It was powerful. It was powerful. Because not only were it just them that raised you, you had your aunties, your uncles, you had the tribe. You had the team on your side. True or not true?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was...
A lot of people don't have that these days. They are for self-preservation. And these kids out here doing what the hell they want to, excuse my French pastors. When the popo took some of the parents, the old school parents, right away, they took a loan, that a lifelong tradition of upbringing that was in home.
Okay. Interesting. That's interesting. Well, now, I'll tell you what, and we can pause over. We got another about 16 minutes here. Here's the interesting thing. Nobody ever told parents that they did not have authority to discipline. And when I say discipline, I don't necessarily mean physically use corporal punishment physically with them, but to discipline their children. And, I'm of the school of thought that if the police want to arrest me for whooping mine behind, come on, get me and keep me locked up, because as soon as I get out, I'm going to whip it again. That'll help me with that, somebody. Pastor Wallace, won't that fix some of that? I know, you know, what your mama tell you? What your mama tell you, Pastor?
Now, discipline is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And it's like, you know, that village that when, you know, my mother went to the back door, you know, when we was in the projects. And out in the front yard, it wasn't going to be hard to acknowledge where I was at. But two or three rows in the back, you know, there's a big field down there. We used to play ball down there. You know, we were good kids. We were playing football, you know. And we were going at it hard. But when you hear that voice, when you hear that voice, call your name. Look here, man. I'm talking about it wasn't no microphone or nothing like that. You knew you heard that voice that come on, it's time to get you something to eat and get ready to do this, whatever it was. I'm just saying you better be in reach. And if you're not, you know, you're gonna have a problem. That's where that whooping twice may come in at. Somebody might see you before you get home and give you a whoop because you know you weren't supposed to be down here. And then when you get in, you get disciplined. That's what that village was all about then, man. There's a lot of love going on in the project. One may not know about it. They never lived in it. And so you can't say one way or another about it. But, man, it was just such a beautiful thing back then. Discipline was a big part of it. You know, of course, you know, we ended up venturing
out
in time.
That's why you said spread around and spoil a child.
That's right. You don't do that. Yeah, you got to make sure you know you make that rod go to work. You know,
what?
Don't spare it. Don't spare it. Go ahead on and use that thing because that's what you're supposed to do. And you know, and then maybe just maybe, you know, one would tighten up because it's necessary. And I say, you know, eventually we ventured out because what they did, 8112, they put something that was tempting to a lot of people, and it captured a lot of our people, you know. It captured a lot of us, and I was one of the main ones. You know, but I thank God, you know, that he gave me a chance to realize that I can go back and to offer something that can kind of prevent that from happening to another generation if that's possible. And you know, that's where it is now. It's just about the compassion. You know, to know that when they put something up there that can kick
you. And I thank God for you standing out and Pastor Dockery reaching out to children and grown folks as well, because I don't care. I tell my people around me all the time, I don't care what you think of me or what you say, I need him.
Yeah.
I need him. I don't know what you think you need, but see how well that works for you. I need it.
Okay. Wow. Well, we've been talking about keeping your head in the game, and useful information here. And what we were looking at for the greater part of the conversation is some of the distraction devices that have really taken the voice in the place of the parent in some regards. 12 talked about how the phone babysits the children for not everybody. I know that. Not everybody, but for far too many, certainly the ones we see on the news and we see caught up in these incidents and what have you. It's a reality. And what it is, it's a wake up to all of us that we can't allow TVs, phones, or no kind of games or nothing to steal our children's imagination and rob them of opportunities of gift and talent and imagination and skill development and demonstration of their skill. We shouldn't allow that. I'm the first one to say we should not allow it. If technology is going to do that to them, they don't need it.
True.
Now, I don't believe that that's the goal of technology, but if that's the net effect on our children, don't give it to them. Don't give it to them.
But I will say this, Pastor Dockery. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir, but I will say this real fast, and I'm going to shut up because I know your time is limited. It also brought me closer to people that I've never met, and they were become family and always has been. I just didn't know. So it works. It works when you use it for the good.
Yeah, sure. Sure, it has its function. I'm not suggesting it doesn't have a good function. I don't mean that. But look at the negative it's doing, though. Particularly for not just young people, it's some great grown musket people, boy. They act just like they're 5 years old.
You be talking like an old man. You said some musket people. So
well, I mean, great grown. They're too old for that foolishness. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Okay, let me try to keep it professional here. Keep it professional.
Well, you are professional. I'm going to leave it alone. I like you being a realist.
Go ahead.
You got to use the technology like you're supposed to use it. Supposed to be using it in order to advance your skills, to explore, and for conveniences.
Right. Okay. And then there won't be no problem, will it, St. Louis?
No, it won't be any problem.
Yeah.
Use it like it should be used.
Maybe it should come with a label then that says this device should only be used. I know that's not going to happen. I know.
I've just been said it. They didn't give you no book on how do I use Facebook. Well, Google think it know everything. And I think it's proven to be to a lot of people careful, including myself as well, in certain situations. But some things you can't go to Google and ask it or Alexa.
Well, just like TikTok, Alexa literally picks up your conversation from your phone, and your phone can pick up your conversation, and all of a sudden you see ads and what have you being advertised to it.
I thought Alexa was only like on the radio or something, on your remote control for like your vision and your music and
stuff like that. Sure. It has been reported to collect all kinds of information that you didn't mean for it to. In fact, I understand somebody was arrested because they used Alexa against them. So, because I want to give you all more time.
What happened? My phone is blinking out. I hear the background, but I don't hear you.
All right, 12, I hope you can hear me now. Just hold on, let me finish this point, then I'll bring you right back in. And basically, to make a long story short, I said to him, well, there are some unintended consequences here. Because you go in for somebody that was sick, and then you find somebody committing a crime, there was no probable cause for you to go for the crime, but you come out of there arresting folks and what have you. And that could be a lawsuit. So, I mean, it's kind of like Alexa and what have you and that sort of thing. That was the only point that I was trying to make. But let me do this. I got 7 minutes. Let me give you guys an opportunity to give a final thought here before we get out of here. Thank you all for joining us tonight. This is going to be the last day of November, the last day of November. And then guess what? It'll be the last month of 2021. What y'all going to do? Ain't nobody scared?
I'm scared.
You ain't scared.
I thank God for Jesus. I look forward to it.
Okay.
I just, I want the people that the Lord say so and to be saved, including you guys. And I thank y'all for listening to me once again. I'm thankful to hear Pastor Waller's voice after a long time.
Yes,
ma'am. Appreciate that.
All right. As always, we're grateful for your presence and your participation there, and we look forward to keeping it going. And I even next year, I look forward to having you join us next year too. So,
yes,
all right. Well, what about it there, St. Louis? Final thought for us before we get out of here, sir?
No, pretty nice little discussion. See you next week.
All right, thank you so much. We appreciate you, sir. All right, Pastor Waller, we're going to bring it to a close, big brother. If you don't mind, wrap us up here for tonight.
Yeah, it's been a great opportunity to be back on the scene, I would say. You know, the word of God says, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, and agreeing that he says he'd be in the midst of us, and again, 8112. I'm glad to hear her voice again and to know that everything is going well. And Pastor Docker, you keep on doing what you're doing, man. And I will say this because it's important as we wind down. You know, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 33 states very clear.
What it says?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added. So as this particular month begins to wind down and to recognize that we know, as you said, December, you know, is fastly approaching.
Tomorrow.
And know that it won't be very long. You know, you just have moments, and before you know it, it would be here.
Yes, sir.
But the number one thing to it all is what I like is just to keep him first. You know, and once we do that, and always remember how important it is to keep him first. That would be something that would be very unique and you can see how the flow will continue to go once we do that, because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Hey.
But what I like about the ending of it, he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Could you imagine him to us because we're keeping him first?
Come on, man.
And on that note, Pastor Doctor, I'll give it back to you, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was getting happy right there, Brother Preacher. Getting happy right there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Well, as always, we appreciate you and thank God for your strength there. And we're going to end with this family out of Memphis. This is a family out of Memphis, y'all. And they were just giving God the praise. He'll make it all right. And we'll see y'all on Tuesday for another episode of Talk Strength. Thank you all for joining us here, and we'll see you next week. Say it, girl.
All right.
Thank you. That's what you call a cappella right there, almost. A little bit of bass in the background, but that's a cappella mostly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. No. All right. Make it all right.